Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 yes. My help comes from the one who saved me and redeemed me. My help comes from the Lord, and I am excited. Friends, I love that song. I love that song. It's a King and Country, My Help. My Help on Your Shoulders. That's the name of the song, On Your Shoulders. God has put us on His shoulders. He has given us life and life more abundantly through the cross of Jesus Christ. And because of Him, friends, we are redeemed, we are regenerated, we are restored, and we can have fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and fellowship with one another. We cannot love God and love each other without the cross, friends. We cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ apart from the cross. That's why it's so important for us to understand this, what this love is, this love relationship that we should have towards each other, and most importantly, the agape love that we should demonstrate towards our Lord and Savior, who bought us, who purchased us, who redeemed us, who has made us heirs and joint heirs with Him. And because of His sacrifice, we have life and life more abundantly. Good afternoon. I am Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken, and you are on the Prodigal Church Hour, and we are happy to have you here. Today is October the 9th, 2015, and it is 14:39 p.m., and I have had no sleep, but God gets the glory. And I'm excited about today's program, as I'm excited about every program that God allows me to come before His children, His people, and be able to be a blessing and to share my heart and share what the Holy Spirit has taught me. And hopefully it will minister to all of us as well as, again, friends, if you're being blessed by this ministry, keep praying for us, keep standing with us, and continue to share the message and share with other people. We're trying to build up, you know, the listener audience, and we have business cards, some witnessing cards, so to speak, but they're like business cards that be coming in the mail shortly, and we're going to get those out to other people. And, you know, the beauty of this is that whether people listen to it live or listen to it 6 weeks from now or listen to it way over on the East Coast, only thing I'm concerned about is that the message of the cross is going out, that people know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him, and that by us putting our faith in Jesus Christ, one is no longer enemies or no longer an enemy of Jesus Christ or enemy of God the Father, but he or she becomes a new creation. Not by works that we've done, but because of the finished work at Calvary Cross. And Jesus said it was finished, and He gave up the ghost on Calvary. He paid the debt that He did not owe for sinners that could not pay. And it's because of the blood that was shed on Calvary Cross, and one who places their faith in Jesus Christ, we can be called children of the Most High God. And we don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it. He's already paid the price. But in saying that, even though He pays the price, God does require something from us after He saves us. And that's what He requires: faithfulness. He requires obedience. He requires us to love our neighbor, but we have to love Him first. Again, I'll emphasize the cross, north and south, our relationship with Him, east and west, our relationship with our fellow man. And we're going to be talking about that today. How do we show this love towards each other? As Christians, how do we show this phileo, Philadelphia, brotherly love towards our fellow man? How do we do that? How do we live this Christian life out towards one another? We talked about our relationship with the Father. We talked about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And now it's time for us to talk about how we love our fellow brothers. How do we minister to them and love on them and treat and bring them and love our neighbor? Those that might not even be Christian, how do we demonstrate love towards the unbeliever? And we should all know how to do that because they all need Jesus, just like we needed Jesus. And before we were saved, before we were, our eyes was open, before we had our eyes open to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were all sinners. We were all in the dark. We were all children of Satan. Some worse than others, but nonetheless, we were children of Satan. 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. For those that might be just tuning in through Facebook or using the internet or your smartphones and stuff, I want to let you know you can catch me on, you can go to the archives on Blog Talk Radio. You can just Google Minister Big Ken 65, Minister B-I-G-K-E-N 65, and you'll be able to tune in anytime 24/7 and catch any of my past 400 plus radio messages that God has allowed me to speak upon since 2015. Also, you can catch me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick on Facebook. You can also catch me on Pinterest at Daryl Kendrick or Minister Daryl Kendrick on Pinterest. Go there, catch me on you can also catch me through my Gmail account is dkendricksr@gmail.com, dkendricksr@gmail.com, and you can also catch me by phone, off the air, privately. If you have a question about the gospel, about faith in Christ, about you're struggling with your relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't know how this whole Christianity thing works, it works by us allowing God to work in us, simple as that. But if you're confused, or you might have been said, I tried Jesus and it just didn't work for me, I assure you, Fred, you didn't try Jesus. You tried Jesus or somebody, but you didn't try Jesus. Because you don't have to try Jesus. All you have to do is let Christ have you. Let Christ do the work. Because if we could just try him on for like he was some cheap coat, that wouldn't really be much of a task for him. But Christ wants to do so much more in our lives by giving us new hope, new visions, new direction. But he wants to most of all heal us from our disease, and that disease is sin. Sin has separated us from God, and because of Jesus Christ, we can be made whole. We can be made right. We can go to the throne room of grace and say, Abba, Father. And let us do that right now. Let us go before the throne room of grace and say, Abba, Father, because we are children of the Most High. We can go into the throne room of grace. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God, not with works of righteousness, because we have none, not coming in on our own accord, Lord, because we know we couldn't come by way of ourselves. We came by way of the cross. We have come by way of your Son, Jesus Christ. We have come by way of redemption. We are only here because of the blood that was shed for our sin on our behalf from your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us willingly, that we would have life and life more abundantly, Lord. And we rejoice, Lord. We say hallelujah, 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 because of what your Son has done. We are most thankful. Lord, we come before you right now, Lord God, asking, Lord, that you allow your spirit to have his way with us today, that you would open our eyes to what this message, what it really means to love one another, how we as believers need to love one another, how we need to be loving agents towards our brothers and be able to minister to them the spirit of love, our attitude of love. Lord, we need you right now, Lord. We need you to speak to us and to show us how and what we need to do. In these last days, Lord, you told us that men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Boastful, arrogant, prideful. We see so much hatred towards one another. We see women against women and men against men and children against children. So much hatred going on in these last days, Lord. But we know, Lord, that as we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill or gratify the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh. Father, may I decrease, may you increase, may your Spirit have its way, may you speak to your people through your vessel this day. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name, we thank, praise you, and we say amen. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. That is the call-in number. And again, thank you for those who are listening, those who are coming in, and those who might listen weeks from now. We know that the word of God does not come back void. Amen. Amen. John 13:34 is going to be where we start at today. We're going to go from there. We're going to let the Holy Spirit just lead us around this issue of love and how we are to love one another. Reading out of the New Living Translation, he says, "So now I'm giving you a new command. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Oh, there's so much in this one verse, friends. So much in this one verse. Because John, who was an apostle of love, he understood what it meant to love. He understood the love he had for Jesus. John was given, asked a question by Jesus, "Do you love me more than these?" Well, excuse me, that was Peter that was given that question. He was asked that question, "Do you love me more than these?" And, of course, Peter said, "Yes, well, yes, I do." And Jesus kept asking the question. He kept asking the question. We're going to turn to that right quick. I believe that's in John 21. Let's turn to John 21 right quick. Verse 15, if you don't have it, write it down and you can go back to it later. In John 21, verse 15, he says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Verse 16, he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend to my sheep.' Verse 17, he said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress up, dress yourself, walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go.' This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God." And those that don't know, Peter was crucified upside down because of his faith. But he was asked that question three times, and it was two different versions of love that was said, or two different words for love. One was phileo and one was agape. But he wanted Peter to affirm, and it was really to us, he already knew the heart of Peter. There was a brotherly love and there was an agape love. And looking at John chapter 13, verse 34, again he says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." So many people talk about how we love. We say we love this, love that, and you know, we've been going through this since last week. We've been talking about this love relationship, and remember, our love towards God is based on it's demonstrative in obedience, and not just lip service. God doesn't care about our lip service; He cares about our life service or our lifestyle. It should reflect our love towards Him, because our lifestyle dictates that we love Him by action. Love is a verb always. It is action and requires us to do something. We don't love God based on just the mere fact that He's like a Santa Claus. That's not how we should love Him. We love Him based on His mercy and His goodness and His grace, because we don't deserve anything but hell. But because God loved us so much, He's demonstrated His love to us, because He did not kill us, nor did He let us, allow us to die. Some of us have escaped death more than once in our life. And for the believer, death is not something that we fear. We welcome death because we understand that death is basically an entrance into the kingdom of God and into it all, for all eternity, and we don't have to fear death ever again. We're going to leave one day. We're going to leave this earthly tent, and we're going to put on a new tent. It's going to be a glorified body, and that's going to be an imperishable. So we can rejoice in that. But let's look at this. Let's look at this in John 13:34. Again, he says to verse 31, because for context, we need to see this. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will see me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Father, bless the reading of your word, and may the Holy Spirit have his way in the ear of those who have ears to hear. In Jesus' name. Notice that it's very important, because the thread is that Christ is getting ready to be glorified. He's going back to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be taken out of here. Remember, he says in verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me just as I said to the Jews. So now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Because see, Christ was going to the cross. And the cross was something he had to do for all of humanity, for all of us. He came here to demonstrate his love for the Father. He shows us that greatest act of sacrifice. He's going to the cross because of the Father's, the Father willed it, but he was giving himself as a sacrifice, because the Old Testament types, the animal sacrifices and all these rituals and things that were required by the Jews just wasn't doing. It had its place. It was a type and a shadow of what Christ would do permanently, because just like the priests in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, when he went into the temple, went into the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, and he went in there to atone for the sin of the nation of Israel. He would go in with a lamb, the blood of the lamb. The lamb had to be sacked, the neck had to be cut, and the blood was shed. And he would go in with hyssop, and he would sprinkle blood all over the altar. And he was atoning for the sins of the people. He had to atone for himself first too, because if he wasn't right, he might not make it out. If he was shady, like in all your worldly possessions, promising you riches by ill-gotten gain. But that's another topic for another time. But these priests, or the high priest, would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle blood all over the altar, and he would intercede for the people of Israel, the Jews. And Christ was going to go into the Holy of Holies when he gave up the ghost, or when he was sacrificed. He went into the Holy of Holies once and for all for our sins, for our transgression. And there would never need to be a sacrifice ever again. Judaism would be done away with, and Christianity, the birth of the church, would be fresh or new. So he's basically telling these disciples, because he says, "I'm giving you a new commandment. I'm giving you a new commandment that we need to love one another. We need to truly love one another." And he goes on to say, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Seek me
Just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Now, this may seem easy. We can read it. We can read it. We can agree with it. We can say, oh, yeah, amen, amen. In our old Southern Baptist mentality, amen, preach, preach, amen. But friend, if you can hear this today, and by nighttime, you could have already been refusing the love. You could be given a test as soon as this message is over with, and your test could be a test of love and how to love one another. Because see, it's easy to say that you're going to love somebody. It's easy to say that you got love for your brother. It's easy to say that I love people, and we can say that all day. But see, when a trial comes knocking at the door or a situation comes upon us, we can easily fall back into more of, I don't like them, and when we don't like somebody, we don't necessarily show that kind of love that Christ is talking about. So we need to look at what Jesus was saying here and how we need to take scripture and let it be the final authority. Not only let it be the final authority, but it should be the pathway to a healthier and a better relationship with our fellow man. Amen. We want to make sure that the scriptures lead us all the way to truth, and it leads us not into temptation, nor does it keep us away from following truth. Amen. Amen. 646-668-8468. Again, that's the call in. Let's look at a little bit of what this commandment is. He says, as I have loved you. The commandment to love was not new. Deuteronomy 6:5, remember? We were commanded to love God. And Leviticus 19:18 commanded loving one's neighbor and oneself. Matthew 22:34-40. Romans 13:8 through 10, and Galatians 15:4, and James 2:8. However, Jesus' command regarding love presented a distinctly new standard for two reasons. It was sacrificial love, modeled after his love, as I have loved you. And remember, we talked about this the other day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because we have to be imitators of Christ, and Christ demonstrated he was a lover of people. He showed love towards those that didn't even love him back. Constantly, he's reminding us and showing us what agape love or sacrificial love looks like with feet on. Oh, friends, it's easy to love people when they're loving you back. But how can we show that love, that agape love, when folks are acting cruel and they're not very nice and they just don't, or we're driving down the road and maybe we have a little bit of road rage that day. And our flesh gets in our mess, or our flesh starts to take us out of the spirit. See, it doesn't do any good to just do it on Sunday. That's not the kind of love God wants us to have. See, you can't be a Sunday morning Christian, think you're going to a full-time heaven. We have to love every day. It's a command. He wants us to follow his example. Christ is the example of love, and we as his disciples should want to follow his example. Remember, it's sacrificial. Is sacrificial. He says that it is sacrificial. Love modeled after his love. As I have loved you. John 15:13. If we don't get nothing else right, we need to remember that the only way we're not going to be like Christ is when we refuse to model and follow him. When we refuse to pick up our cross daily and die. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to keep saying it till I die. We got to have a funeral service every single day for our flesh. Because our flesh gets in our mess. Our flesh gets in the way of a lot of things that God has for us, and some of us have not reached levels of maturity because we refuse to grow up. Some of us have not gotten out of the ABCs, the basics of the Christian faith, and we've been claiming Christ for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. We don't even know what it means to truly. We don't know what sanctification means. We don't know what justification means. We don't know what glorification means. We don't have a clue of what it. We don't even know how to lead someone to the cross. And I'm not talking about a sinner's prayer, because Jesus never even modeled the sinner's prayer. That's not the model he gave. But he did say we was to love one another. He did command us to do that. See, some things ain't about the words that we say. It's about the action that we take. It's about obedience. It's about living out this Christian life by obedience and by demonstrating love. Because, see, this love right here ain't sloppy or gobby. It ain't, I'm just going mushy-mushy and, ooh, you so cuddly and this. No, that's not the type of love Christ is talking about. This love is, it has everything to do with the other person's best interest. Because, see, if I love my neighbor, I don't want my neighbor to go to hell. If I know they're doing something contrary to the word of God, to the will of God, I'm commanded by Scripture to show them love and show them the standard of love. And the standard of love is Jesus Christ. See, this becomes real when Christ is at the center. And so what if they hate us? So what if they don't want to hear it? You did your part. That's all that matters. Did you give them the cross? Did you give them or lead them to the cross? Not lead them to your church. That's fine and great after they get saved. But they need to come to Christ today. Sunday might not make it for them. They might not make Sunday. It's Monday today. I'm not saying it's Monday, but I'm saying if you meet somebody on Monday and you're talking and having a conversation and you ask them how's their relationship with Jesus Christ, and if they was to die today, where they going to spend eternity? See, that's showing love. And they say, man, I ain't got time for all that religious stuff. And you say, no, my friend, this ain't about religion. This is the best. I got the best news for you today, my friend, that Jesus Christ is coming back one day soon. But I don't want you to miss him. I don't want you to just see him coming and you bow down. I want you to know him so when you see him coming, you can rejoice because you ain't going to be ashamed that he's coming. I want you to know him now in a personal, intimate relationship because he can be in you. You can have Christ in you in the hope of glory. And it's not built on some false religion. It ain't built on some nuts and bolts that rust in it. It ain't built on some old dried up wood. This is built up on the cross of Jesus Christ. And he's real. You know why I know that Jesus Christ is real? Because Daryl Kendrick would not want to do the things that he does right now if Christ wasn't real in his life. When I was a sinner, when I was living in darkness, when I was out there in my mess, backstroking, moonwalking, sliding around, hopscotching in it, friends, I loved my sin and didn't have time to love nobody else, not with this kind of love. The only thing I was going to try to tell you is how to get in sin with me. That's how much I love people. I was loving them all the way to hell. See, when you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ and you don't, and the very taste of those old things detest you, when the Spirit of God is so grieved inside of you, when you go to sleep and you meditate and you, where did that come from? Oh, that's, you don't want that old life no more. And you realize how detestable it was and how detestable it is to a holy God. Friends, we can love God. We can love God by demonstrating our love towards him by loving our neighbor and not wanting any of them to perish and go to hell. We can demonstrate our love towards our fellow man by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and not being ashamed of the cross. We can love our neighbor by showing them that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by them. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to accept it, but once you have planted the seed, once you have given them the truth, once you pray and you keep praying and you keep showing love and you keep on showing just hospitality, as long as they're hospitable, as long as you can, they ain't come in your house disrespecting you. They say you let people come in and tear up your house and all that. But no, we can give them the cross, and then we live the cross before them. A friend of mine, when I get married again, I want my wife to be my vessel. I mean, I want her to be right there with me. We're going to be soul winners. We're going to take this truth to the lost and dying world because they need to see. Not only do they need to see couples who love each other, but they need to see couples that are bound and guided and in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're unified by the cross. They're unified by the cross, and they have a personal relationship that's real. Not perfect, but it's godly. Because when the husband and wife both have determined that it's what God says and the word of God is the final authority, there ain't no room for arguments. No matter what your flesh might feel, just say, I can't argue against that. The Bible is just spoke. God spoke, and I'm with it. And see, that's what makes a great marriage. Not only makes a great marriage, but others can see the love that couple have. And the second thing I was going to say is that as an African-American couple, it's a beautiful thing because you just don't see enough examples in churches nowadays. We just don't see enough examples of men and women loving God and loving each other. Oh, they can do the religious dance. They get happy on Sunday. They're raising hell by Sunday night. And we need to be an example. We need to be light in this dark world. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that this is the condemnation that led into the world. But men love darkness because of what? Their deeds are evil. You don't want your deeds to be exposed. You don't want light to expose your deeds. So you better be walking in the light. And we need to, the light is, and the light is in Christ. That's how we love them. We need to show them the light of Christ. Remember Jesus said, he said that this love was sacrificial. He said it was sacrificial. And he also said that, well, going back, he said, having announced his departure and having insisted that his disciples could not come with him, Jesus began to lay out what he expected of them after his leaving. Love is to serve as the distinguishing characteristic of discipleship. Love is to serve as the distinguishing characteristic of discipleship. See, it's easy to be, to quote a bunch of scriptures and host a Bible studies and, you know, coming on this radio program. All of that is great. Praise God, I can do it. But friends, if I don't love if I don't love people with a characteristic, my heart and my mind, if I'm not someone that people see Christ in, then what am I doing? I need to go back and check myself, maybe. I need to do some examination. If people, when they hear me talk, they should know, hear my passion for the Lord, not only my passion for the Lord, but they should see that personal relationship for the Lord. And with the Lord. A lot of people have passion. People are passionate about football games. We'll see that on Sunday. Turn on the TV, watch thousands of people over there cheering for their favorite team. They're passionate about it. All year long, they can't wait for football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, whatever. Passion. That won't get me to heaven, though. There's Christian athletes, yes, but that won't get me to heaven. See, this right here deals with the soul. This right here is about eternity. This relationship and this walk with God is demonstrated by, we don't want people to die and go to hell. And if we got neighbors that surround us, and we see those neighbors going in, going out, going in, going out, and they see us going to church, told them about we were Christians. See, some of us are real good at the old school way. Hey, would you like to come to my church? I heard you was going to church last week. Would you like to come to my church? We don't even try to find out where they are with Christ. We don't even check to see what they believe in. They could be worshiping trees. We don't know. We ain't took the moment. We'll talk about everything that's irrelevant, but we won't talk about the things that we won't talk about the one thing that has the power and ability We won't talk about the very thing or nature or the ability to change and transform someone's life from the inside out. If we got him in us, why are we not giving it out to somebody else? Why are we not giving this wonderful message and this wonderful message of hope to the hopeless? When people are going through stuff in their life, are we trying to direct them to Dr. Phil? Or are we trying to direct them to Christ and crucify? See, Dr. Phil can't save your soul. Oprah can't save your soul. Dr. Spock can't fix you. Sigmund Freud. None of these folks can fix you. Friends, the only person can fix us is Jesus Christ. And if we don't know him, if we know that our neighbors don't know him, then how can we give it? How can we give him away? How can we help somebody else find the way? So we see here that Jesus knew he was going back to the Father. He knew that his time here on this planet was short. His mission was almost complete. He was going to return back, but he wanted his disciples to know that this command right here was not something they should take lightly, nor was it something that they should just rush. He wasn't commanding them to just love their neighbor. He wanted them to demonstrate that love by way of discipleship, by way of sharing the good news, by way of bringing them to a place, of bringing them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because once he left, the Comforter was going to come, and they were going to be given a mission, a new mission, the Great Commission. And Israel and Rome would never be the same again after his departure. After his departure. We see that he was going to leave. He's giving them this new commandment. He's giving them this mission to love one another. And again, we see the examples of scripture. Let's just look at a few more of these. Let's look at a few of these. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. I tell you, friends, this Christian walk requires us to put in some work. Once you get saved, then God wants to do some work in us. He wants to put the plumbing in, so to speak. It's like building a house. Foundation was laid by Christ. Now you got to put the plumbing and the fixtures in. He says, owe no one anything, verse 8, Romans 13, verse 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. My, my, my. Jesus is not missing words there. Paul's not missing words there, because anything that Paul is speaking, he's speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's not writing anything that God didn't tell him to write. So he says, owe no one anything except love. Love is a debt that we owe to others. Love is how we're to operate in this world. This love that we have from God is to be shown to others, to our wives to husbands, children, to our neighbors, even to those that don't know Jesus, even to those that do not love you back, even to those who might, frankly, hate you. To those that might hate you, you're still to love them with the love of Christ, because Jesus did it. Those people that put him on the cross, they hated him. They rejected him, yet he still loved him. Owe no one anything. It's not a prohibition against borrowing money, which scripture permits and regulates. Let me give you some scriptures. You can write these down. Exodus 22 through 25, Leviticus 25 to 35 to 37, Deuteronomy 15, 7 through 9, Nehemiah 5 through 5, chapter 5, verse 7, Psalms 15, 5, and 37, 21. And verse 26, Ezekiel 22:12, Matthew 5:42. Paul's point is that all our financial obligations must be paid when they are due. Loves another. Believers are commanded to love not only other Christians in John 13:34-35 and 1 Corinthians 4:1. In Philippians 1, verse 1 through 9, and Colossians 3:14, and 1 Thessalonians 4:9, 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, and Hebrews 6:10. But he says this version or this way is fulfilled in the law of God, that we owe no man anything but to love one another. Love one another. Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Galatians. I'm sorry, I didn't finish this. Let me read verse 8. He says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the royal law. For the commandment, you should not commit adultery, you should not murder, you should not steal, you should not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. Amen. Amen. So we see here, Paul gives a clear example of this love towards one another and how vital it is for us to love one another. How vital it is for us to love one another. Let's look at a few more. We look at some scriptures. In Leviticus 19:18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. Notice, among your people, God was speaking to his people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. In Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What? Oh, friends. What? You want me to do what, Lord? Yes. Here we go. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Ooh, this is one of those that really, God is always watching it too. Because our attitude, sometimes it ain't what we say, it's just the attitude on our face that tells a thousand words. Do you realize that your facial expressions speak volumes to people? It tells people exactly what you're thinking. And sometimes it tells them really what's coming out your heart. It really does. John 15:12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. Notice he always uses the word command to let you know that it's not an option for the believer to love one another. John 15:17, this is my command, love each other. Romans 12:10, be devoted one to another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Friends, if we want to get to heaven, I'm going to be honest with you. Our relationship with God, north and south, our relationship with our neighbor, east and west, and even treating our enemies with the love of Christ. All of this is wrapped up in one bubble. Wrapped up in one bubble, amen? Romans, Galatians 5:14, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. This is something, I don't know if I can do this. You know what?
You can't do it. I can't do it in my flesh. I can't do this. It's impossible for me to do this. But with God, all things are possible. Not only is this possible, it's a command. It's required. God didn't tell us to do something in his scriptures and say, if you feel like doing it. God gave us a command, and he gave us his Holy Spirit so we could fulfill the command, and he wants us to love one another. This love is, our love towards our fellow man is phileo. We get the word Philadelphia, that great city over on the East Coast, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. And it's brotherly love. It deals with brotherly love. So you might say, well, man, you just don't know. This is impossible. I can't do it. Friends, if you are a born again believer, and only if you're a born again believer can God, or I can't expect you to do it unless you're a born again believer. And if we're born again believers, guess what? We will do it because it's a command, and God told us. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me and keep my commandments. Amen? He said we would do this, and we won't do it grievously. We won't do it gritting and grabbing our teeth. We'll do it because God wants to show, because he has shown us his love, we'll show that love back to others. Ephesians 5:2, he says, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Christ was a fragrant, a sweet-smelling offer to the Lord. When he, in the Old Testament, the priest would burn incense as an offering to the Lord. It would be a sweet smell. The incense would be a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. Well, God, Christ was a sweet-smelling sacrifice before the Father. One time and one time only would he be sacrificed. And he tells us, and walk in the way of love. Remember that word walk. It's a military term. It means to be in rank. See, we don't just all kinds of crazy and just kind of do what we want to do in this Christian walk, in this Christian life. If we're going to get to heaven, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to walk in a manner and walk before the Lord in truth. We got to walk before him and honor him. We must love. We must demonstrate our love for him by walking in rank. And remember what I was saying? I said it's a military term of being in formation. If everybody is walking around doing whatever they want to do and living any kind of way they want to and talking crazy to one another, then guess what? We're not in formation. We're out of rank. See, these words mean something. The Bible, these words mean something. We can't read this Bible with a Western eyesight or Western mindset, because these words have deeper meanings than what Webster Dictionary is going to give you. This is an imperative to walk in formation, to be dressed right dressed. You're looking good, you dress right dress, you're in formation, you're ready for service. And walk in the way of love. What's the way of love? Christ. Christ is love. He's the standard of love. He's the epitome of love. He is love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now about your love for one another. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. That was 1 Thessalonians 4:9. So he's basically going back, taking them back and say, hey, we already talked to you about that. We don't have to write to you about it. But he reminded them of the fact that he had taught them that in an earlier lesson, i.e. back in John. Back in the Gospel of John, they were already taught this. So he says, now about your love for one another. We don't need to write. We don't need to write to you no more about it. But we're going to remind you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. See, friends, in this fickle world we live in this society we live in, love waxes cold in and out. That's why it's so important that you walk in the spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why it's not possible to do this with religion. Religion will only keep you for so many hours, so many days. It won't keep you for the long haul. See, because when it comes down to living this Christian life, this is more than a religion. So you can do all of the outward acts of things and say you love people, but if you ain't really trying to do it from the inside, if it's not a motive by the Holy Spirit there, if it wasn't, the Holy Spirit is not there and you're doing it in your own self-righteousness, you fall short. I fall short. God is calling us to love one another. And you see, in a time and day where marriages are falling apart, people are, their love for one another is waxed cold, and their attitude towards people and hatred towards people. People just can pick up a gun and kill somebody because they just don't want to love. They just don't want to love nobody. That's why it's so important that we walk in the way of love just as Christ loved. Hebrews 13:1 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Again, another imperative. Keep on, a verb. Keep on, keep on. Keep loving, keep loving, keep loving, keep loving. When you don't feel like loving, it's not based on our feelings, friends. It's based on the cross. It's based on what Jesus did. You think Jesus getting on that cross, knowing what was ahead for him, you think he enjoyed to be beaten and mocked and spit upon and his beard plucked out and beaten to a bloody pulp, whipped, and he did no wrong? But he took my sin, he took your sin, and he showed his love towards me. While I was yet a sinner, he died in my place. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. This is not from that muscle in your chest. This is loving from the soul. This is love that only can come from, A, having a relationship with God, the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then you can love your neighbor. Again, what he said, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that's sanctification, that's a relationship, that's salvation. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. 1 John 2:7, dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Always reminding us to love fervently, to love. We are living in the last days, friends, and you'll find people, the love of most will wax cold. You see this on the news. You see this, that how could people, yet they want to call and or they want to talk about how much they love somebody or how much they're in love with somebody. And it's amazing how many relationships young ladies and young men will go through in their lifetime with the mindset or with the words, I love you. This week they love John. Next week it's Phil. Tomorrow is Susie. And so on and so on and so on. And 10 years into their life, they've loved many, but don't love any. Oh, it's easy to give up eros. It's easy to give up the eroticism of love. That's not this type of love. That's not the love that God is talking about. That's not the love that's going to sustain you, because as you see, many people practice eros,
which is eroticism or sexual love.
But see, when we truly have agape and phileo, it changes our attitude about love. It gives us a different identity towards God and others. See, because
in the end, friends, people are going to either know us by the love we had for them, because we told them the truth, because we weren't ashamed of the gospel back down and not stand for truth. Our convictions prove that we love him. Our convictions for Christ proves that we love one another.
But we can see here that from Scripture that how much God loved us. We'll close up with some few more passages. These last few is 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves God or loves has been born of God and knows God. That's intimate. That's personal, friends. That's a real relationship. Verse 1 John 4:10 says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:21, and he has given us this commandment. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. 2 John 1:5, and now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. We can see here from these scriptures, friends, that not much else needs to be said about our relationship towards one another. We've dealt with the relationship of the cross, our relationship north and south with our Heavenly Father. We deal with our relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, and crucified. And we've been challenged on each one of these as we've been dealing with these attributes of God's love. And God deals with us one-on-one on our love towards our fellow man, as well as loving him. Because loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors, ourselves, go hand in hand, and they fulfill the royal law. So we're challenged here right now, or we need to put into practice and make this practical on a daily level. How we treat one another, how we talk to one another, how we display love is based on Scripture and not based on Scripture. Let me emphasize that. How we love one another and each other is based on Scripture and not based on Scripture. Can't have a cut and paste Bible or cut and paste Christian lifestyle and just love people with raggedy attitudes and a constant antagonistic viewpoint. Life should demonstrate how Christ, he was meek. We need to follow his example. He was patient. We need to follow his example. He demonstrated his love for all of humanity. Yes, he was not a wimp, yet he was not weak. He was our wonderful Lord and Savior, and he has given us a command today that we should love one another, and we should love them consistently and fervently. Let us pray for your mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you loved us first. We thank you for showing us what love is. We thank you for clarifying and giving us some deeper understandings through your word. I pray, Lord God, that this truth will not escape us, nor will it bring us anything but comfort, because you've given us all the tools, Lord. You've given us everything that we need to live this Christian life. Only thing we have to do is apply the truth and let the truth take over. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this time in the word. And we pray, Lord God, that this would be a fruitful day, and that we would go out and apply this as need. We thank, we love you, we praise you, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I thought I was going to need the full 2 hours, but I think we got the gist of this, what God has called us to do. It's pretty simple. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. It's a royal commandment. It's what God requires. It's what God has given us as a great commission. Or he's commissioned us to do it. And when we do this, then we can bring others into the fold. But if we can't, if we don't know how to love them, why should they come to Jesus Christ? Why should they come to the cross? If we can't even love God, if we can't love one another, how can we love others that don't know him? Time for us to wake up. We're living in a fallen world, and all we see is carnage around because people are walking around looking for love in all the wrong places. And looking up under beds and looking in beds and everywhere but at the church where God's love is, should be present when we come or meet corporately. The building is not love, but when the saints truly come marching in on Sunday, it should be a time of rejoicing and fellowship. It should be a time when God's people are loving one another corporately, because they've been loved by God and been loving God all week, Monday through Saturday. So let us put this into practice. Let us make it real in our life as we go into a weekend. I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to come here and just show you some love and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. Pray you have a good day. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name I pray. We thank you and say amen. God bless everybody. Have a good day.